Good morning. Hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. Happy New Year to you also. This is the new church year. We begin a whole new church year, the season of Advent. And so we light our first Advent candle. There's one of the major themes is a light that comes into the world. And so it occurred to me this morning, we got 3 weeks and then the days start getting longer. So it's not so bad. It's not so bad. Yeah. So light comes into the world. During Advent, we prepare for the coming of the Christ child, but we also prepare for the second coming. And the lesson today talks about waking up. Paul tells us, and all our lessons talk about waking up. It's time to wake up. There's a word that we always, there's a lot of theological words we use, but we don't remember what they say or we just take for granted. And the word that we need to listen to today in all our lessons is salvation. I had a fellow in my office saying, "Pastor, my wife keeps bugging me, She was Southern Baptist. Am I saved? Am I saved?" Because she kept saying he wasn't saved. "Am I saved?" I says, "Are you baptized?" "Yeah." "Do you believe in Jesus, the Son of God?" "Yeah." "You believe there's a gift of heaven for those who believe?" "Yeah." "Okay, so then you've been baptized into Christ's death and into his resurrection. That's the idea of being saved." He says, "Well, what does this word salvation mean then?" I said, "Well, what's the root word?" So we got to go back to our English, you English teachers. I'm thankful that you taught me this. The root word of salvation is salve. And what does a salve do? It's a healing ointment that you put on your wounds. And so when you hear the word salvation, or are you saved, remember that Christ's healing ointment has been placed on us. When we are hurting or when we are causing hurt, when we are wounded, his healing ointment heals us. We are saved. We are salved. We have salvation. Okay? And that word is used quite a bit during the season of Advent. So are you saved?
Amen.
Martin Luther, when they asked him if he was saved, he'd holler at the top of his voice, "I have been baptized!" And that reminded he was baptized into Christ's death and in his resurrection. We are saved. A couple of things. Monday night is our church party out at the Pine Inn. You can sign in for that today. Poinsettias, if you'd like to honor someone or memorialize someone, you can do that today. Also, I think the rest of the announcements you can be responsible for. We start another month, and our theme this month is to serve. I know a good friend of mine who was sentenced to serve. Well,
so we have a couple of recruits here that are going to join me this morning, Shar and Randy. And like Pastor said, this month is serve. And on the in the fellowship hall on the table, there are little placards of different ways that that our congregation that you can serve. There's also a bulletin board out there. But one of the ways that our congregation participated in was we had 25 people go to Feed My Starving Children last week, and Randy and Char were part of this group. So I'd like to ask them a couple of questions. Before I do that, we served over, there was a large group, I don't know, about 70 people, kids and adults, like Wally had mentioned before. And we served packed over 35,000 meals. We fed 94 people for a whole year. And we packed 94 boxes that contained 36 bags each, in each box. And it was lots of fun. So one of the questions I guess I'd like to ask Randy here, why did you sign up?
Well, I signed up because Wally asked me to.
That's right, and we really, do that a lot. Because he invited you to come along.
He invited me to come along. I've done Starving Children before, and I think it's a wonderful organization. They have a great atmosphere. As you said, there's young kids from 5-6 years old up to adults that just have a great time while they're there. But the neat thing about it is it's a faith-based organization that's open to all religions, but it's very clear that Christ's theme is throughout the organization. And at the end, after you have worked and packed the meals, you get a chance to go back and stand by the pallets that are ready to go all over the world, in this case to Thailand.
Philippines,
and to say a prayer of good wishes and thankfulness, and it's just a neat, fun day that you know you're doing some good.
Yep. And Char, why did you go, and what did you especially remember about that day, or what was special to you?
Well, I signed up because it was something new to me, and I had not done that. Now, Wally and Susie said they've been there 3 times, I think, before this time, so... You know, I think once you go, you think, you know, I'd like to do that again sometime. My background is working with kids, and it was so fun to see kids again. You had a lot of adults, but you had all the vim and vigor of these high school kids and elementary kids that were there. And they made us work a little faster because they were yelling out their numbers and go, go, go. And so, you know, we had a little girl in our group there, like a team of 7 on each station or whatever. She was about 4, and she had her cute little pink tutu on. And her job was to stack too high the bags that we had filled. And then there were like 18 numbers on the table, so she put 2 bags on each number. And, you know, you can work doing that from age 3 or 4 on up, and there was a variety of ages represented. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing I learned there, and knew this would happen because it always does, is when you give is that you get. And when you serve, you feel good that you did something, but it does come back and you get that return yourself. So I think there's 7 of these places in the country, 3 in Minnesota, 3 in Illinois, and 1 in Tempe, Arizona or something. So I learned a lot about the program itself, and they had lots of video, slide type stuff showing you where in the world all of this goes. So it was 25 people from our church was a very good representation. And of course they give you the kudos that you really had a good group. The St. Louis Park 4th and 5th graders left ahead of us in their bus, and then we came in. So I hope we do it again.
And that, and thank you for leading into that, because hopefully maybe in the spring or next summer we'll be able to do that again, and hopefully maybe have more people sign up. But please take a look at the bulletin board in ways that you can serve, and both locally and globally. And as we get older, we don't all need these Christmas presents from our husbands and wives always. So there is the ELCA packet there that you can give a goat or a pig, or if you really want, you can give honeybees.
I think you gave me a goat last year.
We probably
a goat
did.
In my name was presented, huh?
Yes, probably so.
And those old goats, they can eat anywhere and give milk and
That's
cheese.
Right. But they go around the world, and so take a look, and please consider that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you to all the people that went to Feed My Starving Children. It was a great time.
Yeah, so our theme this month is Serve, We Serve. I will challenge each one of you every day to go over and above, do one nice thing every day this month, over and above what you'd normally do, okay? Then we would have made the world a better place. If we've got 100 people here this morning, that's 100 good things today. And 31 days in December, well, that's 3,100 good things we've done. So we will make the better world a better place. Let's begin with a prayer. Oh Lord, your prophet says, "Behold, This is the day of salvation. We are reminded that we are wrapped in your healing salve, your healing blood. We are reminded that we are given new life and new eyes and new hearts. Our minds may be winter, but our hearts, may they be filled with eternal spring. Bless us today as we begin a new church year and as we gather together around your holy table. Send your Spirit, Lord, to this congregation as we begin a new opportunity to serve you. Send your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn is 556, Morning Has Broken. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn in your bulletins to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, our life, our mercy, our might.
Amen.
As we await this day of the Lord, let us confess our sin. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together, Great and Holy One, in this time of waning daylight, we confess the shadows of sin in our lives. We build ourselves up at the expense of others. We rely on our own efforts to make our lives secure. Yet you, O Lord, are the potter, and we are the clay. Come to restore us in your image, remake us into your people, and rebuild what sin has broken, that we and the whole creation may rejoice. Amen. Fear not, people of God. The Almighty has done great things for us. God casts away our sin from us and makes us a new creation. In Jesus Christ, God comes to set you free. Take heart in the tender compassion of our God.
Amen.
From the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Protect us by your strength, and save us from the threatening dangers of our sins. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
Thank you. Jesus the Savior reigns, the God of truth and love. When he hath purged our sins, he took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say.
Val was unable to be here this morning. The first reading is found in Romans chapter 13. Paul compares the advent of Christ to the coming of dawn. We live our lives today in light of Christ coming in the future. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, and the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. The psalm today is Psalm 122. And where you see the refrain, please say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Now our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem is built as a city that is at unity with itself.
To which the tribes go out, the tribes of the Lord, the assembly of Israel, to praise the name of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
For there are the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper and love you.
Peace be within your walls and quietness within your towers.
For the sake of my kindred and companions, I pray for your prosperity.
Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do you good.
I was glad when you said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this first Sunday in Advent is found in the 24th chapter of St. Matthew. Jesus describes his second coming as a sudden, unexpected event that will bring salvation or judgment upon people caught up in the usual affairs of daily life. He urges people to be alert and expectant. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 264.
Prepare the royal highway.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Someone said that you know it's going to be a bad day when your horoscope starts with, "Are you sitting down?" You know it's going to be a bad day when you wake up in the hospital in traction and your insurance agent comes and tells you that your accident policy covers you falling off the roof but doesn't cover you hitting the ground. Might add one more. You know it's going to be a bad day when your pastor says, "Wake up, wake up," and you've not even had a chance to settle into your comfortable pews. You know, there's some churches that they won't put in cushioned pews because it gets too comfortable. So I look around at all you gray-haired folks or no-haired folks. You know how to live. But don't get too comfortable, and that's the message of Advent, huh? That's what St. Paul is saying to us on this first Sunday of Advent. He says, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So no slumbering this morning. Our friend Dougie Trandall would sit there like this. And Wally, You had the greatest invention. I think we could make some money on that. Wally got those glasses where he put the eyes on the outside, but you didn't know what was going on the inside. I think there's some money in that. But no slumbering. It's time for us to wake up. That's the message on this first Sunday in Advent. Wake up. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Our salvation is at hand. Our salvation is right before us. I enjoyed the description that one of my seminary profs once talked about. He had a former pastor. This pastor must have lived in the 30s and 40s. The prof said he was a real character. He smoked, which wasn't unusual in those days, and he told the church council before he was hired, "You're not going to get me to stop smoking, so I don't want to hear about it." He enjoyed a game called a dominoes called 42, and this guy wanted to win so much that he was even known for everyone sneaking a few points in extra for him. I mean, this was this pastor, and he was a character, huh? And then this pastor had a horse named Pastoral Calls. And so he kept at a church member's farm southeast of town, he said. And on Wednesday, if you called the church office, the secretary would say, "I'm sorry, pastor's out on pastoral calls." And everyone in the church knew what that meant. He had all kinds of idiosyncrasies and quirks, and one of them had to do with his preaching. It seemed... he seemed to know when the congregation was not always paying attention. And so when he got to a point he needed to make, he would stop and he'd say, "Are you listening? Are you listening?" And then everyone, you know, the women would put down their grocery list that they were making out, and the guys who were scribbling on their bulletins, they would stop, and everyone's ears perked up. And when this pastor asked the question, "Are you listening?" it was time to stop and pay attention. Are you listening? It means wake up, congregation. Wake up, because this is the key. This is the important statement that needs to be heard. Some people read Paul's lesson that's in the first lesson that Pat read in a strictly negative sense. You know, this isn't all negative. The world is going to hell on a roller coaster, folks, some people think, when Paul writes this. Wake up before it's too late. And certainly there's time for that. There's time when we need to be warned. Wake up. Look at what you're doing. Look at how you're living. In the New York Times, recently there was a column on the problem of drug addiction. It was basically saying, wake up. This is what this column said. "It's a familiar nightmare. We have all had it. The train's coming right down the track at somebody you know, and you scream, 'Get out of the way, get out of the way,' but it doesn't move. And the train comes on and on and on, and you wake up sweating." And then he adds these dramatic words. He says, "A drug train is coming. But the people standing on the track simply do not seem to be able to jump out of the way or even hear the screeching whistle." He's warning them, wake up. He's on target. The number of people with drug and alcohol addictions in our country and the recurring problems which they bring, like crime and domestic violence and wasted lives, are as deadly as an oncoming train. Wake up. Some of you might already be waking up in the middle of the night sweating over someone you love who can't fight it. Comedian George Carlin, you all remember him. He was on Imus once. He told about growing up with his Irish dad who was fought an alcohol problem all his life. When Carlin grew up, he had his own drinking problem. He went into detox, cried out, dried out, and he came out as proud as a peacock, and he told his father, "You know, I've beaten the drink." And Carlin said he'd never forget what his father's reply was. He said, "George, you're sober, and that's a wonderful thing, but there's still the marriage and the kids and the job that you have to deal with. The monkey may be off your back, but the circus hasn't left town." And that's true. You know, we might think we're in safe places. Circus hasn't left town. There are many people who need to wake up because they're engaging in self-destructive behavior. All kinds of people in this world. That's what our lesson's about. That's what our Advent is about. It's time to prepare. One day we're going to wake up to the moral drift in our society concerning sexual behavior and wonder what in the world we've done to our children and to our spouses and to our world. What have we done to our marriages? What in the world have we done to the very foundation of our society because of our frantic living? I'm not being judgmental here. I pride myself on being a preacher of grace. But I'm concerned. And that's the way St. Paul was, too. He preached grace, but listen to what Paul says next. He says, "The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let's behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." Paul's writing to the Romans. Rome in Paul's time wasn't much different than America in our time. People are people are people. Unless someone is sounding the alarm from time to time, society has a tendency to deteriorate, to be pulled down by those forces of our own nature, those weaknesses of the flesh with which we're all familiar with, we all are intimately acquainted with. Paul's warning the church at Rome not to hit the snooze button when it came time to pull out of destructive pleasures. Isn't that what we do sometimes? Even with all our good intentions, we're not quite ready to face the morning with all its demands, and so we reach over and hit the snooze button. According to USA Today, that's what made it click with the snooze button. They said more than a third of American adults hit the snooze button every morning. I should ask here. No, I won't. You know what the snooziest group was? Those from 25 to 34. 57% of them hit the snooze button daily, and most of them hit it three times, they found out. Huh? You know who the peppiest risers were? Congratulations, those over 65. And the reason you didn't hit the snooze buttons was because you found out that life is short. There's only so much time you have, so you're not going to waste it laying in bed. Or maybe it's because that bed gets uncomfortable after 8 hours. You know, even you get sore laying in bed. But a world, Paul wants a world where everyone's dignity is affirmed, whether they're a part of a traditional family or not. We're not supposed to be caught snoozing here. We're looking to make a world where the love of Christ dwells in every heart, and you're not going to find it snoozing away, just drifting along in our immorality or our selfishness. That's what Advent is about. It's easy for some to do. So we read Paul's words, you know, a lot of us read the words in a negative way, and we only hear the message to wake up to the presence of sin in the world. But we also need to hear his word of to the presence of salvation in the world, that healing ointment in the world. Huh? Remember, he starts off with these words, "The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here." Paul's emphasis isn't on the negative at all. It's on the coming of light into a dark world. Christ is coming. He has come. And he's coming again, so emphasis is on the light. It's on preparing the world for Christ's coming. And that's what Advent is all about. Advent has, as I said earlier on, it's a twofold emphasis. It's a time in the church year where we prepare for the celebration of the birth of Christ, but it's also the time of year when we prepare for his coming again, the final saving act of Jesus Christ, huh? The day of salvation, the day when we are totally
healed, when that healing salve is wiped on all of us, when the earth will be transformed and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of Christ. And there's nothing negative about that. That's something we can all look forward to. There was a story in the Week magazine. Before his death, Roger Bush was a radio personality in Australia. He was also a serviceman in World War II. One of Roger's friends was on an infamous prisoner ship from going from Java to another island. 75 men were battened down in the hold of a ship. No bedding, no blankets, not enough room for them to lie down, with food being passed down in slop buckets and dead bodies being passed up. They were on there forever, so they lost what days of the week it was, what months it were. And after it seemed like 3 months, they finally ended up on an island. They didn't know where. They were marched off, put in a concrete cells. 75 out of the 75, only 27 survived. Someone asked what day it was. Someone asked what week it was. Someone asked what month it was, and they couldn't even tell. But a few days later, all of a sudden, they heard the ringing of bells, which announced it was Christmas Day. Evidently, there was a church up in the hills that rang out their bells, their Christmas music. And those prisoners celebrated, and they found joy, and they found their religion again, and they had prayers again, and it gave them hope. And they knelt down and listened to the message of the bells, and somehow they found their faith again. I hope when you hear the bells this Advent, that they will remind you of your faith and of your salvation, that healing ointment that comes to us. Or when you see the colored lights or the lighted candles, you'll see the light of the world coming in to our lives. And when you hear this wonderful Christmas music again, it'll remind you of the day of your salvation. The time is near. The key, says St. Paul, is to be prepared for God's salvation and to clothe ourselves with Christ, to put on Christ. I love that image. Listen again. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's a beautiful image, to clothe ourselves in Jesus Christ. Huh? So, in the words of that old pastor, are you listening? Are you listening? I'm inviting you this Advent to fall in love with Christ all over again, to wake up from your slumber, to clothe yourself with Christ so that you might discover the joy, the deep, deep abiding joy of your salvation. Paul writes, the hour's already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is near now, nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Yes, it is. Let the preparation begin. Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering.
Will the congregation please rise? Let us turn to the offertory prayer on the top of page 5. Let us pray together. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In hope and anticipation, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Gather all people into your house, O Lord, and open our eyes to your presence among us. Send us as witnesses that others may see and be drawn to you. Hear us, O God. Unite our voices to the great song of praise sung by the mountains and rivers, field and trees. Join our voices with theirs in announcing your promise coming throughout all creation. Hear us, O God. Transform our tools of war and destruction into instruments for cultivation and growth. Plant peace in places of conflict. Hear us, O God. Be attentive to all who wait expectantly for your mercy in times of crisis, illness, fear, and grief. We especially remember in our prayers this morning Regina Johnson, Ron McCracken, Darwin Brieswitz, Dean Newman, all those others in our lives, in our congregation, in our families who need your healing touch. Answer them when they cry out to you. Hear us, O God. Heal all who live with HIV/AIDS. Reveal your creative power through those who seek a cure. And give us compassion to bear our neighbor's burdens. Hear us, O God. You have clothed the saints in the light of Christ. Teach us to live in his ways until that great day when he comes to make all things new. Hear us, O God. Almighty God, we entrust to you all for whom we pray, confident that you fulfill your promises through Christ our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let's join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we gather at this holy table, the first Sunday of a new year. We have a do-over, a beginning over, a chance for new life and new hope and new love and new joy. And Jesus tells us as he breaks the bread of life, "This is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are welcome at the table of the Lord. This morning we will use intinction, so we will hand you a piece of bread. You may dunk it into the wine or the light grape juice. If you eat your bread by mistake, we will give you another one. Don't dip it in, okay? If you are gluten intolerant, just ask and we will serve you a piece without gluten. Table is set. Come, eat and drink. Congregation, please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. God of wonder, we give thanks that you have fed us once again with this foretaste of the feast to come. Strengthen us through this gift to serve our neighbor with joy, that all may come to see your glory reflected in the lives of your people. through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The God of hope, through Christ our peace, in the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Our closing hymn is 677, This Little Light of Mine.